This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Patty Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and everyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. How are you doing? Welcome to the Funny Mummies for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. I'm Hattie Ashdown. Keeping me steady today is, or the voice of reason, it's Gemma Beagley. Oh, Soho Theatre's Gemma Beagley. Hi.
Oh, I'm on that capacity.
That's what you're going to be now.
Okay. Soho Theatre's Gemma Beagley. There we go.
I think my music's playing in the background. Can anyone else hear that? No? Okay. Just me. So, you're right, Gemma? You were a bit flustered.
Bit flustered, but I'm all right. I'm okay.
She's got that look of like, just don't talk about it.
I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm here. Look, I'm here with you and Laura.
Let's find out who we've got today, because it could be anyone. And the show, I've geniusly titled the show Mind the Gap, which I've got a feeling we already might have called a show like that, but maybe it's Mind the Gap too. Today we're talking about is there such thing as a too bigger age gap between children, pros and cons. And our guest, who might know a thing or two on this subject, is Rod Stewart. No. She won the Funny Women's Award in 2019, only 7 months after her first ever stand-up gig. Made her TV debut on Jonathan Ross's Comedy Club, ITV, last autumn. Since then, she's appeared on Yesterday, Tomorrow and Today and the Day Before for Comedy Central. And as yet untitled for Dave, Laura performed, I've given your name away, at the Latitude Festival last July, that is, and did her first hour work in progress for the Leicester Comedy Festival February over Zoom, didn't we all? This woman is also partial to a little bit of red lipstick, and we're often not seen in the same room together. She's a fabulous mum of three and comedian. It's Laura Smith.
Hello, 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 hello.
Look at that. I can still hear gremlins. No one else can hear what feels like a washing machine. No, okay. Okay. Welcome, Laura. You all right?
I'm all right. I'm trying to find my voice after a busy, giggy weekend, but I'm here. I'm here and I'm using it.
She's using it.
Do you mean your voice, your physical voice, or your, like, spiritual voice?
Oh, here we go.
Like, I'm really trying to dig deep. I find my voice. I've got a vocal fry. No, I found my voice. I found it. I found my voice on stage.
Why do you think it's particularly got... Can we say what you were doing? You were doing
I was hosting a pie and mash brunch, and I've come into you, Hattie. I was like, you should do it. Because there was there's a pearly king and queen there.
Oh,
it was a proper
gosh.
Knees up. And I just, you know what I mean? I feel like, I don't know. It was hard work. You know, you're keeping them all.
Yeah.
Because half of them were just like, whoa. You know, one of them bottomless, boozy sort of brunches where everyone's... some women were on stage before we even started. Do you know what I mean? And ready to... Do you know what I mean? It was a proper, like, proper knees up it was. So it was a lot of fun.
In some ways, your work is probably done. I mean, you probably hardly have to say anything in those sort of... I don't know. They just want a bit of innuendo, don't they, a lot of the time?
Yeah. It felt a little bit red coaty. And, you know what it's like. I mean, even emceeing a comedy gig, you know where you are, but you know, I like turning up, doing 20 minutes and leaving, thank you very much.
Right.
I kind of probably didn't pace myself, certainly didn't pace my voice.
So how did you, taking us back a little bit, because you used to be a teacher.
I was.
And you only recently left full time.
Yes, I did.
How did you pace yourself talking all day? Or did you say to the kids, don't bother me?
Oh yeah, don't bother me. Kids, today we're going to do some meditation, so put your heads on your desk, see you in an hour. I don't know, do you know, it's funny, isn't it? It's anything in life, especially, I think mums know this one, it's only when you get past something you look back and go, how the hell did I do that? Do you know what I mean? Like, when you've got a three-year-old and a newborn, or when you've, you know, working a full-time job and then gigging. It's only when it's done and you go, what was I doing there? But I always found that no matter what was going on, the adrenaline and the joy of stand-up, I always had the energy for it. You know, people go, oh, gosh, well, you know, you're working two jobs. But I always had, for somehow, I always had the energy for stand-up because I love it.
was it like a release? I guess it's like a release because there are so many teachers that become stand-ups.
Yeah, I think I think teaching is a huge vocation, but I think it also appeals to people that obviously are experts in their field. But I think there's such a huge element of performance about teaching, and I think you can get away with being a good teacher by, you know, your presence in the classroom and crowd control and handling it, all of that. And then there's other sides of teaching. I think Mickey Flanagan was a teacher for a little while, and he talked about the kind of how sensible you have to be, and, you know, Greg Davis talks about, you know, just all the stuff he neglected. So it got kind of bogged down in all of that stuff, and especially, you know, if you get promotions and you're handling other things, you just go, nah, I'm too sensible for this, and you realise this is the bit I love, and very transferable skills, you know.
I think as well, I mean, is it fair to say that teachers have to have a great deal of empathy as well? And I think something that a nice asset for a stand-up to have is empathy, you know. Yeah, being able to connect with a room of people, you know, regardless of who it is, you know, and also in a classroom, I guess you'd have a very diverse, from different backgrounds and social classes and stuff like that, and that would be the same as a comedy room, right?
Absolutely. I think I always say I think comedy is a kindness. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you say things and you say the unutterables, it's like it's a safe thing for people to go, oh my God, thank God I feel like that. Oh my God, I know that. And I think that some younger comedians who want to kind of push the boundaries and sort of broach taboo subjects, they do it wrong. Because the reason they do it wrong is because they think they've just got to say an outrageous thing. And actually, just saying the word, I don't know, rape or, you know, paedophilia or something, they think they're being funny, but actually,
like, just being shocking.
Yeah, they're just being shocking, and that's not nice. But if you're being shocking by saying the unutterables about, I don't know, you know, marital sex or wanting to kill your kids sometimes, it's like a kind of, oh, that's a relief.
It comes from a truth, Laura.
Yeah, it comes from a truth. And in the classroom, kids are sensitive to that. You have to respect the fact that, you know, and the more you know about these children, you know, you've got to be sensitive to all of their needs. And also, I never ever thought in the classroom, I am the teacher, so you'll listen to me.
Right.
I was like, I remember not wanting to listen to my teachers. I never took it for granted that they'd want to listen to me.
You validated their feelings.
I validated their feelings. We were talking about this before. Yeah, that's right. Dr. Becky at home on Instagram. But just to let them know, I see you where you are, and that's a nice thing to do to audiences. And because the more experience you get in stand-up, you go, oh, let me see what this room is, and then how to lift it and how to get it on side.
And was it secondary school you were teaching?
Yeah, wow. Up to A-level.
I bet people are listening and going, oh, why did she leave? We need more teachers like her.
Well, my students will be.
So you left, what, last year? So
yeah, just didn't go back this September gone, wow. So that was
congratulations. Yeah. That's incredible.
Thank you. Wow, made it over the fence.
Got two ladies in the room who have made career changes.
What did you do, Gemma?
Well, same kind of job, but different industry. Yeah. Mm. So I moved.
In an industry
I love, exactly. I've got a real passion for. So,
Let's have one of your song choices, Laura. She's going to go, which one?
Yeah.
Plastic Smile.
Oh, I love this song. I don't know why I thought of this.
No particular reason.
I just love her. When you sort of talk about, I don't know, I didn't want to go to anything too obvious, but this is just a nice sort of cooking a Sunday dinner kind of tune. This is a tune, and it's true.
You're listening to The Funny Mummies on Soho Radio, and this is Plastic Smile, Sylvia Teller. Welcome back. You're still listening to Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for The Other Woman Show. If you're listening on a download, you would have only got a couple of seconds of that song, so you can have to go out and look it up yourself. A little bit of work for you. So here I am, Hattie Ashdown, with Laura Smith, with Gemma Beagley, and we are going to get straight in talking about age gaps. I myself come from a crazy age gap. The best way of explaining it is when I was born, my oldest sister was 18, and then the next one was 16, and then the next one was 9. And then, so, that's the age gap. Yeah, my mum always just says that none of you were planned, as in, she did want kids, but she was like, she never did that thing of like, well, we'll have one around this yeah. time. She just sort of went with the flow, and she did really want a boy, and it was all girls.
Were you the fourth girl? So yeah,
I was the fourth girl. She said she'd given up after the third one. She just knew I was a girl. I was like, oh well, you know, just go with it. But Laura, you've got tell us your age gap with your kids.
I've got a 19-year-old, and then I've got a 6-year-old, and then I've got a 3-year-old. So yeah, I feel like I had two first children in a weird way.
Yes, you must do.
Yeah. So yeah, I had it was really fun. I don't know, but as much as there's that age gap, I bet you had really three extra mummies almost, did you? Was it a bit like that when you came along?
Yeah. I mean, I had all the thing where people thought that, you know, I was their kid and stuff like that. And one sister loved it and played on it. Another kid would be like, another sister, my oldest sister apparently thought it was disgusting that my mum was pregnant.
Yeah.
I mean, did you have any of that with your...
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about validating their feelings. Yeah. When I was, because I was a single parent to my eldest, my Rosie, till she was about 10. And that's when I met my now husband.
Wow.
And so she kind of met him and liked him, and she was just a bit like, but straight away she's like, hang on a minute, you know, you better not move in, you better not get married, you better not have kids. And then it weren't long before so then she was 10, so then a couple of years later then I'm pregnant, and she was really unhappy about it. And you know, people slag off Mumsnet and that, but I went on Mumsnet saying, how do I get her to be on board with this pregnancy? Yeah. And like a tsunami, every answer was, she doesn't have to get on board with this pregnancy. You chose a new partner.
Yeah.
You chose, and it was a real kind of, oh. And I just had to, that was a real big lesson for me. And even she said, like, because I think for me, I was like, oh, she needs to be included. She needs to feel part of this little unit and all this. And she, I think we were going to get our eyebrows threaded down Green Street. You know, and she was going, you know, it's fine, but me and you are the ones, you know, like, you don't strong it almost. Don't force this kind of, we're a little family of four, you know, when her little sister come along. You know, I like them. I love my new stepdad. I love my new baby sister. But, you know, you're my mum and we still need that. And I thought, wow, that she was almost leading me through that. But saying that, as soon as that little baby sister come along, the pictures, as soon as she was born and my eldest came in, I mean, she was like that, eyeballing all the midwives to make sure they were looking after her baby sister properly. And
so how old was she again?
So she was all just a few months off 13. So right. 12 years. And she... Just adored her straight away.
That age where they kind of feel like the pressure to sort of stop playing with dollies.
Yeah.
But now she's got her own real life dolly. Yeah. She doesn't, do you know what I mean? I think it's probably a really lovely age.
It was really nice. And I know the opposite, where friends have had like, where they're so looking forward to their baby sibling and then went, hang on a minute.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, so she was really like, I'd prefer it that way, where she's like, she was against it. And then as soon as she met Bonnie, she was just enough. And you know what? It's so funny. Even 12 years apart, they'll argue over things. And you go, oh, my God, how are you arguing over, like, space in the backseat or something, even with that age gap? Even now, she's, you know, 19, coming on for 20. The other one's like, they'll argue like cat and dog. And I just think, and I go, oh, yeah, it's proper siblings.
Yeah, you sort of like it a bit. Yeah. My husband always says, like, it's just for existing. You just get annoyed at his sister for existing, you know, just like, just putting their hand near their hand or something stupid or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gemma, did you have any, like, you know, like, oh, no, you're little, so you're, because you're in the middle somewhere, aren't you?
I'm in the middle, yeah. Well, I remember I was 7 when my youngest sister was born, and I remember adoring her. Like, I absolutely adored her. But then I guess it didn't feel like she was taking away any attention off me because of the age gap, I think. So I enjoyed that age gap. Whereas me and my older sister, there's 3 years between us, there was a lot of rivalry there.
See, this is the thing. There was more issues when my third come along. So Bonnie was just about to turn 3 when the little one come along. And that is a really dangerous age. It's like something broke in her that ain't quite healed. Do you know what I mean? Like, she sort of leaned into his cot. Oh, hello, Alfred. Like, ready to dig him out. And like, you know, there was something which really threw her, like, that we were all like, oh my god, you know, like, walking on eggshells. And I think we almost fed it too much. We were sort of validating it and trying to overcompensate much, rather than just saying, well, crack on, get on with it, really.
My mum's a psychotherapist, and she's big into siblings and the.
We have to get your mum on sometime, Gemma.
The effect. Oh, I mean, yeah, maybe she'll come up here. Coax her with a theatre trip or something.
Yeah.
What she said is that in her experience, with a small gap, like one of those whoopsie, pregnant straight away, is that the oldest one suffers more than the one that's just born.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's almost like they've too quickly had just them and mum taken away, whereas the youngest one doesn't know any different.
No, of course.
But she said that oldest child with a small gap seems to... There's a lot of those that turn up to see her.
Oh, well, obviously, if anyone's listening and they've got, they're pregnant now, they're like, oh, no, it's all just personality. I mean, like you say, me and my sister, the 9 years between us, I really think we'd be close no matter what the gap was, because we just got very similar personality. If she hears this, she'll go, no, I'm much funnier than you, which she is funnier than me. And so, I feel like it would happen any gap. My older two, like you say, even my mum would say, oh, it's a bit like having other mums, and there's a certain amount of, when I say something on the WhatsApp group, it's not really taken seriously. I'm just a little sister.
I'm the youngest.
I'm still not really taken seriously. And it's like, what am I going to be taken seriously? But that's really, I wish my mum had known that about, because I reckon my oldest sister, she is a bit funny with me. Like, totally does not validate my feelings. And I wonder, and as I said, I know that when mum was pregnant, she was like, oh God. And obviously, I'm thinking that's still in there somewhere.
But maybe she would have been as well just about to be sexually active and exploring
18.
That and working all that stuff out as well. To then have be genuinely faced with your mum being sexually active is just so gross and conflicting.
Let's be honest, in the 1900s, when my mum was pregnant with me, it was frowned upon, and it was still the time when you did... I mean, there's no... pictures of my mum pregnant because it just was that it still then we didn't really show off where I mean, look at what's her name with her bump out yesterday.
Rihanna,
it's like, get it all out.
Rihanna can do what she likes.
Of course she can. I was doing a bit of research. So the average age gap is 2 to 2.5 years. That's the average age gap. And that the older you are, the smaller the age gap. It seems to be women under 20 have smaller age gaps than older women.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, if you start having the babies sort of mid to late 30s,
17, 16,
you start churning them out. Yeah. But then when you're younger, you sort of go, you've got the energy to keep going.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're about 20 months apart, all my brothers and sisters.
Oh, are you? Yeah, that was going to be my next.
Yeah.
Oh,
right. My mum says when I came along, my sister just above me, and we are probably the closest, I'm really close to my brother and you're really close with my sister, but... my mum said that she just had one hand on her the whole time. She's sort of, 18 months, and there was just always, Amy always had one hand on my mum just the whole time.
Yeah.
And then just sort of, she is like my second mum. I just think there's always been that dynamic of like, and when I was younger, it was almost like rebelling against Amy. Do you know what I mean? Like, not wanting to... wriggle away from her grasp, but now, really close.
Which, do you think that affects... Because I was just thinking then, I thought, I guess there's nothing wrong in it, but I guess I don't really talk to my sisters about sexy things.
No.
Because she wouldn't want to... She'd say, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Because she has that element of... I guess, she held me on the way out of hospital.
I've got two older sisters from my dad's first marriage, and I remember talking to one of my older sisters about, after I had I was 20 and I had Rosie, and I was talking about having, not having had sex, and she was like, I'm a mum, but she couldn't even bear the thought of talking about sex or anything with me. No way. I mean, it's funny, obviously, my eldest, and then she has to broach that subject sometimes with me. And it's like, okay, yes, let's have this. Let me act cool about this, shall I?
Oh, my gosh. We got that to look forward to, or not look forward to. I don't know. It's very. We're both mums of boys. So, Gemma's not got any gaps at the moment, but Gemma... could be you one day if you meet someone else.
How old are your kids, Gemma?
She's looking at me because I know she doesn't want any more children.
He's seven, and No. I think when I was researching what it was saying about big age gaps, and obviously if there's an age gap, then you've got older, and just the consideration of being, this is more of an older, being an older, it's not fair, I'm not pointing out here.
I but am like
an older mum is actually, can your body handle it? You know, all these considerations.
Oh, absolutely. I would be in a wheelchair, I think, which is nothing wrong with being
in a
wheelchair.
If you went again.
Well, I had all that PGP, pelvic girdle,
and
it was painful towards, you know, the second one, and they said to me, like, it would be a really bad idea. But, yeah, I mean, some women do, don't they?
I've got a friend who, she quite a big gap, I think, gap was maybe 6 years. She was 45. But do you know what? The energy that woman had, you know, she was a fit, healthy, active 45-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like me at my age who just sits around. You know what I mean? Like, she's
doesn't. I mean, someone on the train next to me was watching Jennifer Lopez's performance. I mean, she's in her 50s, isn't she? And you know when you just think, yeah, age is really a mindset and based on how many carbohydrates and exercise you don't do. Do you know what I mean? And I mean, I just can't think of the energy I had. Yeah. I mean, I had a C-section with my eldest and I was 20. Right. I mean, I just...
So how old was you then?
20.
Wow. She's 20. Baby.
I know. And then I'm looking at her almost 20 and you go, oh my God. I mean, I don't know. But all the things I worried about with her that I didn't have to worry about. Do you know what I mean? And then there's things with the little ones. I mean, they just barely see me. I just have to remember their names. That's what, you know what I mean? And you think, it's give and take, all of it, isn't it? You're stupid, you make mistakes and you ain't got no money, and then you've got, you know, you're a bit wiser, you've got a bit less energy, you've got more money, but you ain't got as much time because you're making that money. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. So you don't let the mum guilt come in then. You don't, not that you should, no one should have it. But it's a constant thing I fight with. Because I've just got that thing of when I'm with them, I don't want to be with them. But when I'm not with them, I want to be with them. I'm joking.
But it is. But do you know what I've literally learned in, you know, the past few months is about self-care. Do you know, like, and I know it's like hashtag self-care, hashtag me time. And I don't mean going out for a
brunch
with the girls.
You took yourself away or something recently.
We took ourselves away and not having the guilt about that. And, you know, going to yoga sessions, taking these time out for things that I need, because when my cup is full of good things, I'm present. You know, when I'm home with them, I'm not death scrolling on my phone or switching off. I'm saying, all right, let's go to town, let's build some Lego for a couple of hours and really being present. And it's like this fundamental shift has happened that I never knew, because I just think it was all about, I think having being a young mum, you've got something to prove. I was a single mum. I went back to uni. I think that I was always waiting for someone to go, she can't handle it.
From that point of view.
And I think I put myself under so much pressure, and I think it's taken me a long, long time to say, you know, whatever anyone's got to say about it, because people will judge you, whatever. You know, we're such bitches, didn't we? We're horrible to each other. To say, you know, can I have them looked after a couple of hours? I need this. And it's just been it's counterintuitive, but when you do it, and especially if you're gigging, if you're working a lot and gigging, you think any night you're not gigging, you've got to be with the kids. But you are working, even though it's fun what we do, it is work. And if it's just work and parenting, then you've got nothing. But if you take that time for yourself, it's the difference between life and death, I think.
So you're definitely someone who needs a balance then. You couldn't be like full-time mum, whatever that is.
No way, I couldn't. I couldn't, because I think you deny so much of yourself. And also kids are adaptable. If they know it, I mean, we were joking about putting the red lipstick on and they go, I got a gig, mum. And this morning putting on, oh, you got an early gig. You know, they know it. And you accept what you know. You know what I mean? Like, kids know that's the routine and everything, you know, and that's all right. But I am aware of, like, if I have 3 or 4 gigs in a week and someone offers me something, even if it's a great opportunity, I'll say no, because I know my limits, and I know that I'd suffer from not reading their bedtime story and having that time with them.
I think, you know, we all think, like, again, the whole self-care thing has been a thing recently. Being busy is a sign of success. And again, that is a rubbish thing. And I think it is good it's hard, but to set yourself boundaries. And I remember Adam Buxton, is a random thing, said, like, he would always, I think it's because my friend of mine,
wrote a show with him, and he would always have to stop at 5 o'clock so they'd go home and be with his kids and put them to bed and do the bath, always, no matter what, you know, written or not written. And of course, I was really young at the time, thought, oh no, I just want to stay as late as possible and do all the work, because that's how it works. But I really admired that kind of this is how I work. Of course, he's Adam Buxton, he can do that.
My eldest, she's a barista. She works, and she had this weekend off. They were meant to be going away for a girls' weekend, and then it was like height of COVID. But they phoned her at work and said, "Look, we're really short staff. Can you come in?" She went, "No, I'm on holiday." And that was so. Wow. I was almost like, "Oh no, you've got to." But I thought, no, you know what? Fair play, because if you don't set a boundary, and you push yourself to the limit, they won't thank you for it. Work, you know what I mean? And I think we need to normalise saying no. We need to normalise prioritising ourselves, because, you know, what we do, and I've seen it, a lot of the reason I leave teaching is because they're doing that classic thing of do more with less. Mm. And you can do more with less, but you can't do it for a long time.
No.
And what are you going to do? Kill yourself for someone else? Forget it, mate.
I was ghosted by an employee.
Oh, wow, good.
She offered the job. She accepted, and she just didn't turn up. And she sent an email saying, "I've had a better offer," the day before she was due to start. And of course, I was angry. Yeah. She's like, "Oh, great, got to start all over again." But part of me was like, "Good for you," like quite envious of her having the what I call cheek, but actually the balls to go, "No, actually, I can do better than you're offering me."
Yeah.
You know? And, there's that sort of thing of, like, I also find it really, and I hope that she has a really miserable career. But I think maybe younger women are being a bit more like, I said, no, I'm not going to. Whereas I'd be like, oh, okay.
It's like the mental health discussion. It can't begin and end and say, with, "I have mental health issues." It has, the conversation has to be, I know what I need to do to have robust mental health.
Brain management or whatever,
rest,
prevention, self-worth, actually practicing.
Oh, we're coming out with them all.
It's not buzzwords. It's important. It's important because what are you going to get ill
for?
You're
so right. I think when I started out in showbiz back in the 1940s, it just felt like there was this, must say yes to everything, must say yes. I've been at the airport not knowing whether I was going to go on holiday or not, because I was still waiting to hear about a job.
Oh,
and I was just like, my agent was like, just go ahead with the holiday because we don't know. And I was like at the airport, and I didn't get the job, but it was so stressful knowing whether I was going to get on that plane or not. It's like, this is ridiculous.
Don't get me wrong, when I went away last week and my agent was saying this could be happening, what sort of date? And I knew, like, feeling out those couple of nights away in my little retreat I went, and I was like, yeah, but it's only in Hertfordshire, I can come down for it. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm like a crackhead for it as well. Do you know what I mean? But like, yeah, I don't know. I've learned that it really is a matter of life and death to take that care for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
My next question, Laura, is going to be, we're talking off air about, I was going to ask you best and worst sort of parenting advice, which sort of relates to, you were talking about advice for your new show. But let's have another one of your favourite tracks, which is your, do you want to introduce it? It's the Candy Staten one.
Candy Staten. Do you know what? I love this song. It was sampled by a band called, is it One Eskimo? And then we found the original track. Me and my eldest sister, who's probably about, I think she's about 15, 16 years older than me. And we just passed out on the floor because we was like, this is the best song ever written. This is probably a shout out to all the guys I've dated in my 20s as a young single mum, and it never got anywhere. Do you know what I mean? So there you go. It's just a tune, and I love Candy Staten.
Okay. This is He Called Me Baby.
He called me baby.
Lovely, lovely bit of Candy Staten. Can't beat it. So we're talking about advice, and often at the top we do a little quick fire round, Laura, and I didn't do it with you because I knew you didn't need it. It's normally like to, you know, like warm you up, but you're all warm, lovely, and ice is broken. But we often ask, you know, what's the best or worst sort of parenting advice you've ever had? And and then when I said this off air, you said your next show is about sort of like advice and how don't always take it on, or like taking the wrong advice and following that.
Yeah, I think I really struggle with advice. I just struggle with it as a concept. I don't really like advice. I, you can suss things out. I think a lot of the reasons people give you advice are probably from the bad reasons. Do you know what I mean? Like, often, you know, like someone will go, you got to be disciplined. Don't let them, and I think that's often people are validating their own position and defending their own life choices when they're giving you advice.
Okay.
Or they can't handle the fact, sometimes you just want to cry at your mate at how hard breastfeeding is. Or, do you know, you want to cry and cry and cry. People want to give you advice and, well, get them on the bottom. And you just want to cry and you just want to be heard. So I'm not really big on advice and I don't think I try and dole it out too much. I think what I've learned as I now made a whole adult and a woman that's going out into the world is I just wish I never worried as much. You know, a lot of my bad parenting come from worrying and obsessing and thinking too far ahead. Oh no, if she don't do this, will it be like that? And is she like this? And is she like that? I just think you've constantly got, like with anyone, you've got to meet them where they are.
Mm.
It don't matter if they can't read. It don't matter if they can't tie their shoelaces or tell them. You know, none of it matters. You know what I mean? You've just got to see who they are and meet them as who they are and love them as they are. Do you know? And I think with my oldest, certainly, I think I was very insecure when I was a young mum, and my whole thing was, oh, I don't want her to be like that because I'm like that.
Right.
But that's because I didn't love myself. Do you know what I mean?
And
if you go, no, I mean, on a whole fundamental level, but when you go, oh no, I'm really into who I am. That's great.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, that's who she is. Or, like, you know, she's disorganised, and I'll get frustrated because I'm disorganised, and then I pieces of paper just rammed into a rucksack rather than books or binders. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And, well, that's what she's like. Do you know what I mean? And but that's all right.
So so many questions. Me and you should do our, we should do our shows back to back because mine's about coping and worrying. And I still do it because the other day with stuff I've got going on with my six-year-old, because I'm reading that book, the book you wish your parents had read, and she was saying something about sleeping habits. So then I was going, oh, maybe it's because I didn't do this and that when he used to cry out. I used to do controlled crying and all that kind of stuff. I think I've messed him up because of that. And actually she said, you know, same as you, there's no point worrying about in the past.
Yeah.
Meet where you are now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a certain amount of worry is good. It means you care.
Yeah, of course.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I remember when I started doing stand-up, a friend of mine said, I can't believe you're doing stand-up because you're so sensitive.
Yeah.
And I was like, but as you said, Gemma, you know, I have...
Compassion.
And hopefully all that, I just have to have compassion for myself when you come off and...
And why is it that you're the last person? Because then, you can go on stage and it's magic, isn't it? When you can read what someone's feeling and call it right and you've got those empathic sort of sensitive feelings. We are so unkind to ourselves. And actually, there's a little bit of ego involved to think that the whole game is going to be won or lost on you. You know, it's about good enough parenting, and it's about, you know, I do a gratitude list in the morning, and I'm grateful.
Oh my gosh.
But it is, these are all practices I've learned because Oprah told me to do it, didn't she? But you have to give thanks, and you know, and I remember I was talking to a social worker once, another mum at a mother and toddler group, and she went, oh, it's pretty hard to up a kid. You know, she worked with kids that had really gone through stuff and still had that resilience. I mean, and I think humour comes into it. We can use humour with all our mates, but why don't we use it with our kids? Why don't we just actually laugh at them and go, like, I've seen my kids do such tantrums and my six-year-old can be so forceful, and then I laugh at her because I go, I went, whoa, that was a bit scary, and laugh, and then she laughs because she don't know what she's doing, but we give them so much power because they're our little hearts walking about outside. But just it's all right. They'll be all right. They'll be all right.
Did you have any, when they were little, any, I always think it's when they're little because you're like public property a lot of the time. When you're out and you're pushing them in the pram, did you have any stonkers from somebody that's just like,
cover
him up or...
Oh, all that. Oh, well, I'm like that now. Do you know what I mean? I think middle-class parents love not putting hats and flipping socks on their kids. I'm always like, put a hat on it. It's got little corned beef legs. But the, I remember once one of my kids kicking off and another mum, she went, oh, she's very angry, isn't she? And, you know, I just thought, I just wish I told her to off, to be honest. We're allowed to swear.
No, but it's fine.
No, we're not. But do you know what I mean? But do you know what I mean? And all those sorts of things. And, I mean, my sister said the funniest thing when she had a little one, and my mum was really freaked out that he was going to be, you know, starting full-time nursery at 9 months old. And then my sister just went to her, mum, everyone up their kids. This is just how I'm fucking up mine. Yeah. And it shut my mum up, do you know what I mean? And I just thought, yeah, that's it. You know, they're not going to come out of... No one comes out of their childhood unscathed, but...
No.
You know, and
choose your battles.
Choose your battles.
But this is another one.
This is Dr. Becky at home. It's never too late to address things. Mm. Like if one of your parents or your big sisters said to you now, or one of your school bullies, I said to you now, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
I think that was just me being insecure, or I didn't handle it well. That'd be so freeing for you.
Oh, I'd love that.
Exactly. So it'd be freeing at the
sorry
kids.
I stole your penguin every day from the lunchbox.
Yeah. So at any stage with your kids, you can say, oh, yeah, you know, you can say, yeah, I did that. Or, you know, you've lost the plot. You go, wow, mummy had big feelings there, didn't she? When she was trying to get you in the bloody motor. You know what I mean?
Gosh. Gemma, have you had any... Has anyone ever... I cannot imagine anyone trying to give you advice.
I'm more of a... Do you know what? I really try not to give advice because of what you're saying. Mm. But what I've discovered about myself recently is how opinionated I am. And it's kind of the same, I think. Advice and opinions. You know, we've all got them.
We were talking recently about somebody.
Everyone's got one. But you wanted to yours or whatever.
Somebody recently, you wanted to say something to them. And I was saying, maybe you can try and do that thing where you try and make them look at their self.
Yeah.
Try and word it in a certain way.
I had a bit of a to-do at the weekend because of projected opinions that it's just like, do you know what, no one needs to hear this.
Mm.
So anyway, one learns day at a time.
It's really hard, isn't it? I mean, yesterday, because I was doing this gig and then my husband was saying, oh, I'd love to go. And I sort of was like this, but he read my face so wrong, you know, because I was trying to work out, I was like, well, I've already got a plus one because my agent's coming with someone and then I don't know, actually I could get the kid. And I was trying to work out how I could accommodate it and he just read my face as, ugh, no thanks, you know what I mean? And I just thought, when I explained myself and I thought, because sometimes two sets of emotions can be read so wrong and then it can all get entangled. So I think good communication's always good and actually removing yourself from things, not taking things personally, because we take things personally from this little 3-4-year-old. They don't know what they're doing. By definition, they don't know what they're doing.
And that's we're having a bit of that at the moment because he just doesn't listen. He just there's something with the 6-year-old going on, and my husband, I'm trying to tell him it's really frustrating when you're going, Harks, put your shoes on, 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 put your shoes on. And I can feel my husband's losing the plot, and you feel and I'm like, yeah.
But your capacity to deal with, because this is advice, but your capacity to deal with all those things is better when you are taking time for yourself. So again, it's counterintuitive, but you know, you've got to make sure you're not at wit's end, which we are, because we're tired.
McIntyre does a really great, really
Don't
funny
quote that, Matt, I'm joking.
Really funny bit about trying to get kids out of the house in the morning.
Oh, yes.
And this is, you know, this is Jolly McIntyre here. No, I don't know, it's just a stand-up routine, but it's very funny.
It's nice to know we're all going in this. This is why, again, the projection of the great mums, I Instagram anything I've ever done, look, we're on a beach, and you go, that's not my whole life, though. You know, we project the good stuff. We've got being honest is nice. You know, those mums that just go, I nearly fucking throttled him.
So refreshing. Have you watched that Netflix film, Lost Daughter?
No.
With Olivia Colman? Watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
I was like, it's so good for just feeling like, okay, I'm not the only one. Right, we better get cracking because Gemma's got a new item. She's going to talk about, because we are Soho Radio, it's silly not to connect to Soho Theatre. And Gemma's going to give us a few little picks of stuff that's coming up in March.
Okay, so first one I have picked.
I need to get a jingle for this, Gemma.
Okay,
I will do.
Okay. So Soho Theatre are doing a on-demand film festival February and March.
Okay.
So they filmed a number of productions over the last year, and they're putting them out. So go on to Soho Theatre website and check out some of the stuff. My top pick is a play called Mum.
Oh, Relevant, I wanted to see that. Yes.
By Morgan Lloyd Malcolm, and produced by Soho Theatre and the producers of Fleabag as well. So it's about a mum having her first child and just the early days of being a mum. It's pretty intense.
Right. It's not a comedy, then.
It's not a comedy, no. So that's on demand. Go check it out. It's available until the 6th of March, so a few days. Next one is Chaperat Corps Sandy.
I love her.
Yeah.
It was the 90s is the name. So two things. She's a parent and also 90s. So she's
We love the 90s on this show.
We do. So she's downstairs, I believe, in the cabaret space from the 21st of March until the 21st of April.
Again, you'll have to work on getting her on the show, Gemma, when you see her around. Will, every time she goes, yeah, and then it never happens.
Oh, well, I'll nab her in the lift. Yep, so that's one of my top picks there. And new parent, Bobby Mayer. whose wife, who's also a comedian, Harriet Kemsley, has recently had their first child.
Yeah.
So he's doing his show, Cockroach, Wednesday, 30th of March, and Friday.
Is this a work in progress, his show?
No, this is his, he's touring, yeah.
Oh, he's
so
wonderful.
This is probably not stuff about being a dad as such, or maybe
it's
being.
Probably not, no.
But because I just love to hear. His thoughts on. I haven't seen him.
Love to hear his thoughts on anything.
Yeah,
really.
On anything. Yeah. But and also the sentimental me, because he was adopted, and I'm obsessed with adoption and all that. I find it very fascinating. And they say about what it's like when you have your own. I can't even say it because I might cry. When your own flesh and blood, and I'm like, I just want to hear. You know what he. I'm sure he'll have something hilarious to say, like, oh my god, poor thing looks like me.
I said to him, I can't wait to hear the birth story, and he was just like, I can't wait to tell you. So so those three. Also the bar is open over in Dean Street from 10-ish every day.
Go got and big have up the bar, because the bar suffered a little bit, hasn't
has,
it?
Yeah,
well, as they have a lot of
they have, yep. Go and have a cup of tea, coffee, going for a pint. Kaz will sort you out there.
Such friendly staff. When so I went friendly. In the other day, she was so lovely.
I love it there.
I went to see One Woman Show, which you probably won't be able to see by the time this comes out, because the run would have finished, but I'm sure she'll be. Is she going to go to Edinburgh?
Well, it was supposed to be for Edinburgh, so it's kind of the moment's passed, really.
Right, yeah.
But it's a fringe festival, isn't it? So it's like, it's kind of, it's a hit now.
But
so
if you can, Liz Kingsman, I was going to say Jenkins then. Right, so, Laura, we're going to give you an opportunity for a night off your kids.
Oh, nice.
But we'll, you know, guilt-free, they're going to be looked after so well by some Montessori person, but lots of fun, and you can go anywhere, do anything with anyone you want. Where you're going, what you're eating, what you're doing.
I think I would like to. If I'm, you know, ideal. Yeah. Me and my husband fly to Ibiza. You mentioned Ibiza before. Just fly to Ibiza, do some sort of sunset yoga and sunrise yoga, and just get off our faces and dance all night, and then swim in the sea, and then back again. Thanks.
Is this something you've done with him before?
No, we haven't. Do you know what it is? Because he met me and I was a mum, so I feel like we've got a big old reserve tank of early dating still to do. Because we were just, I don't know, we were just in it together and he was just amazing. Yeah. I just feel like we met and we're in it. And
God, we didn't even get to that. Yeah. That question about how he felt getting, you know.
Oh, he loves it. He's magic. He's that guy.
Is he?
He's that guy.
I've not met him, but I've got that vibe from you.
Oh, mate. He's that, you know, like he turns up and you all go, everyone goes, Ali's here, and I don't know what it is. We don't want him to do nothing. He's just like an emollient. He's just magic. Because I had to marry the first useful man I ever met, because I've just got loads of sisters, and I just have loads of warrior women that have always supported and loved me, and I didn't know what men were for, really. They just caused trouble in traditionally in my family.
That's
so he just rocked up and knew how to garden and put up shelves. Thank you very much.
That is so important. When I first met my husband, he took apart like a wardrobe, put it all back together again. That was about 8 years ago. He's never done anything like that since. So I think he sold me a fourth person. But yeah, so important. I remember you I'm getting the song ready to play out in a minute. But I remember you telling me he's the guy that like wants to have everyone around and have a party, and sometimes you're like, oh god,
he'll be like, you'll be all right, won't it? And you're like, yeah, I've just got a newborn, I'll just do a barbecue, shall I? This is it. The next song, I'll introduce the next song, because this is it. We both heard this song. We were driving through the Austrian Alps and we heard this song, and we just looked at each other and thought, let's change our lives. We can do anything. Thank you very much.
Yay! Before we get to that, so tell us anything you want, you've got coming up that you want people to, even if it's just following you, that's fine. Yeah. On the socials. And any women that you'd like to pick up?
Oh, yeah. Follow me on Instagram. It's pretty basic. I don't do comedy or cute stuff, but, you know, my life's quite fun to follow. I project the best. And I'm quite inspirational in a minute. So the, how do I not pick up? I mean, you guys here are just like amazing, running this podcast and just all the magic that you bring and who you're promoting, and just all those women in comedy that are brilliant. I don't even know where to begin. I love all of them. Callie Beaton's just amazing, and who else? Oh, I'm going to offend
Callie
people.
We've got Callie booked in, I think. Oh, I can't remember when, just, but at some point
she's walking magic. She is. And just all those people that are honest and get it. I love all my sisters and sisters from different misters, my Gemma, my Anne-Marie. And, you know, I've always been surrounded by warrior women when I needed them most. So I don't know, women, aren't we magic?
That's plenty enough.
Yeah.
What else do I have to say? Gemma, is there anything else you want to add to the sign off? I can't find my notes.
Go out. Just go out.
Yeah.
Go out, support.
Spend some of that money you haven't bloody, that you've been hoarding during lockdown.
Indeed.
Go and see some live stuff.
Yeah. Thank you for listening, everyone. Please do keep listening and tell your friends. Word of mouth is the only way. And because women are lifting women, please rate. It helps more people to find us. And yeah, if you want to introduce this, Laura, thank you so much for coming on. I have to keep putting my code into the iPad, which is my son's iPad. God, I keep forgetting the code. It's his date of birth. That's all right.
Keep forgetting that one. Oh, what am I introducing the song? Well, we're letting a man involve. We're letting Jay-Z get involved.
We are letting a man involve.
It's Queen Bey. It's Beyonce. And it is The Carter's Nice.
Yeah. I can do anything.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with The Other Woman Show with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to Gemma Beagley and our guest today. Please see the write-up in this episode to find out how you can follow us and our guest online. This show is edited by Alex Holland, recorded via Zoom. The show also goes out on Thursdays on Soho Radio as part of the Other Woman Collective, where often you can hear the full music version of the show. If you'd like to support us and get lots of goodies, like a video version where you can see our mugs, go to Funny Mummies on Patreon, where you can buy us a coffee or maybe an hour's childcare. Thanks very much for listening. Keep subscribing and telling your friends. It really, really does help. We'll see you next time for a dose of Mum and Tonic.